Welcome to Gal Pals Watch. I'm Alicia.
And I'm Sarah.
And this is a podcast where we discuss queer women in films, inclusively defined. And today we are talking about Love Classified, and we're honored to have the writer here, Lynn Sternberger. Lynn, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, I am Lynn. I'm a TV writer primarily who skipped, hopped, and fell into writing a TV feature for Hallmark, which was a dream I didn't know I had until I was doing it. And I am a dramedy writer also, so kind of inclusive myself. I have sort of drama instincts, but I most recently was writing on a sitcom, a family sitcom, so it just is sort of material dependent. But I live outside of LA, and I've known Alicia now 15 years, which is bananas.
Absolutely bonkers.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, of course. I feel like, so to listeners, Lynn and I met through LiveJournal. So I just want to point out that LiveJournal is so important, or at least it was, and your online friendships are real friendships. So
that's accurate. The online spaces have brought so much into my life. I started on the fandom side of things, and now I've been a creative professionally for about 10 years. And I wouldn't have been here without writing fan fiction. Truly, it schooled me in how to get into character voices and stuff. And I also met my wife on Twitter. So while you know, things have gone awry, and the Russian zone LiveJournal, is that still true?
I'm sure it is. I think it's just owned by Russia at this point.
They probably have my banking account info. I don't know.
Sure.
But they definitely do. And Twitter is just a total miserable place to be. Generally, I have no regrets.
The internet, I have no regrets.
The internet, I have no regrets. None.
It's really gone downhill, I feel like, though.
The internet in general.
The internet. The internet used to be better in a lot of ways.
I need to know what's the next space. It can't be TikTok.
I don't know. I don't think there's enough space for like thought and like mm-hmm. or like, I don't know, like sharing thoughts, obviously, like in like a video or like a stitch, yes, but for people to like interact with each other and have a conversation, there's not enough of that in order for that
creative
to be
niches, you know. We used to be in each other's lives, even all spread across the country, and you know, you'd occasionally meet just a total lunatic, but most of the time it was wonderful.
Yes.
So
yeah, I feel like it used to make me so happy, and now I'm like,
yes.
Yeah.
I guess we're also adults now, so yeah. There's that.
Well, speaking of the internet and social spaces, that is a like an axle of the wheel of this movie.
That is so mm-hmm. true.
Nice segue.
That was amazing. That was
Bring
amazing. Yeah, so how did you come up with Classify?
It's really funny. Because I don't want to tell any stories out of turn, but we were talking about meeting people through dating apps and stuff before we started recording. And the whole concept of Love Classified started in sort of inspired by Lex, which
I remember Lex.
This queer, I think it's still around and going, but this like queer, specifically queer dating / community app, where it was like, meet people to share your kombucha starters or whatever those are. And meet people to compare Outback Subarus. Date people, tie people up. It really ran the gamut. But I was interested in like how it was a catch-all. And so I had thought I would maybe explore writing like a cable pilot set in an intersecting universe as a rom-com and rom-drama lover. I'm always like, what could I do that sort of like Richard Curtis-y or like, you know, a Love Actually type thing. And I went in to meet at Hallmark And I didn't know how that meeting was going to go, to be honest, because they had passed on me for a different job after reading the sample. And then they were like, "But come in, we love you." And I was like, "Well, then you, but you didn't hire me." Was a job I didn't even really, I mean, I didn't really want that position, but so I wasn't like hurt, but I was kind of hurt that like I couldn't get the job I didn't want.
Yeah.
And I went in, sat down with these executives, and I know exactly when it was because it was my very last meeting before COVID. So that tells you how old this, like how this goes back. But we touched elbows when people were doing that instead of shaking hands.
Yeah.
And I sat down with my executives there. Kate and Lori, and they're wonderful, so I have no trouble shouting them out. I was like, "Guys, I don't know why I'm here." And one of those meetings where you have like nothing to lose, nothing to gain, nothing to lose. I was just like, "Tell me what's up. Tell me what's the deal, and why did you bring me in? Because you kind of, from my sample, you know what I do, and my universes are always like super diverse, and I don't mean just like racially or like sexual oriented. I mean in like all the ways. I mean, I'm making a point of it, and it's always sort of been that way, like economic diversity. Anyways, so they were like, no, we're interested. We're interested in sort of seeing things go in that direction, and we want to be more inclusive overall. There's sort of a new vision at Hallmark. You'll get haters, probably not your on your podcast, but like." There are a lot of traditional Hallmark viewers who are not happy about the
Yeah.
inclusivity that's popping up in things here and there. But it came from the top, the request to kind of make it more inclusive. And they've had a scandal. I don't want to get into the weeds on that because I don't know so much about it, but there had been sort of a scandal the year previous, and they'd ousted their president, and he'd been replaced with somebody else. And then he went over to
Wow.
GAC. I don't know what they're calling it now. The Candace Cameron Bure competitor Hallmark that doesn't seem to make anything, so I don't know if that's actually a good business
Is
model.
that like a
But
Christian channel?
yes, it's very
Okay.
much like if you don't like gays, come here.
Okay.
If you believe in the traditional definitions of family, is how they're
Oh.
marketing themselves.
Got
So they were like, "We want more. And what do you have?" And I said, "Well, I really only have like a single idea for a feature that would sort of fit the bill, I think." And I pitched them a feature version of that Lex universe. And they were like, "Yeah, write up more because we would like to like explore that." So eventually I wrote a sort of a pitch document, and they pitched it within the company internally, and we went into development. And at every step of the way, I was like, "This will not get made. This is a fun experiment." But I was wrong.
Wow. And here we are. Well, I'm glad you were wrong.
Yeah, same. I have to say, this was the only Hallmark movie I've ever seen that I actually liked.
Oh,
I mean, granted, I
thank
haven't
you.
seen that many Hallmark movies, but this one really pleasantly
Well,
surprised me.
if you enjoyed it and it had a sort of soothing effect to plug into a Hallmark type movie, you should know that they are making other things that sort of are along a similar model, not necessarily structurally or the same universe or anything like that, but like there are other things that out there. I was hoping that when Love Classified came out, there would be sort of, I don't know, a lineup of movies to follow so that if I was able to draw lesbians. This is what I pitch always in my meetings. I'm like, basically, they'll follow me, guys. They know I exist. And if I talk about it, they'll come watch it. Because they know my agenda and it's a gay one. I don't know that I don't know that people stuck around, unfortunately, because there's just not like it hasn't reached full saturation yet. There isn't maybe enough, but they're working at it. They're working at it. So.
Was this the first lesbian feature that Hallmark had made?
I think that there were lesbians or queer women in a few, I think they popped up occasionally as side characters. This was the first lesbian centric or queer centric feature, well, female queer centric feature film that they made, is my understanding. And they have since done a couple more. They had a Christmas movie out this year, and they've also, I've met the writer of the Christmas House movie, she's wonderful. But that has gay men in a regular role. So yeah, but I think it was technically, of course.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Thanks.
Well, for the listeners, the synopsis in
Oh,
general
yes.
is that there's a romance novelist named Amelia Bloom, played by Laura Harden, amazeballs,
Yes. I was like,
returns home.
oh my God, it's
She returns home after a long absence to reconnect with her children, who are also finding their paths to love. And our two main leads are Andrew and Mandy from the L Word, Generation Q, and Catherine McNamara from probably lots of things, but I don't know. But
I think she was big on Shadowhunters. I have a feeling that the Shadowhunters universe is still her like most devoted followers.
that sounds familiar based on what I read on IMDb, but I'm just not familiar with that.
Yes.
So I'm very biased with what I say.
Yeah.
Clearly, she had some sort of resume and acting chops because she got this role.
Yeah. And
It's
she's working with
fabulous.
Hallmark again. I think she has a new thing out too. So they liked working with her, and I was not super involved in the casting, but I was really happy with the direction they took it.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
yeah.
I also read that this movie has a big budget compared to most Hallmark movies. So you should feel
It
proud about
looks, in
that.
my opinion, it looks like it. And I know
Yeah,
that
it
they
does
had
look
to
like it.
build a lot of stuff for us as well. The entire bookstore was built.
Wow.
It was not a bookstore. So yeah,
Wow.
I think the answer is yes, but I don't have the numbers on it.
Yeah.
So
I really liked how this movie. So Melora Hardin is the mom of Taylor, who's played by Kate McNamara, and Zach, played by Max Lloyd-Jones. And they both have sort of their own lives. Taylor is more of a main character, and her romance is with Frankie, played by Arian Ma Mandy, Mendy, Mandy, the one who was in L Word Generation Q. And I like that there was like these multiple storylines that were, it was like a parent child, like estrangement and coming back together, and romance for both Taylor and Zach, and then like dealing with health issues for Amelia, and I don't know, I just really liked all the threads and how they went together. And I'm wondering if you can talk about that a little bit. Like, how did you sort of weave those threads together?
I like to define myself as sort of like doing daddy issues and mommy problems. I do family drama.
Yeah.
And I had tackled daddy issues and some other stuff. So I took on mommy problems with this one. And actually, side note, I hosted a screening party when this premiered in my backyard, and my mom was in attendance, and I hadn't really told her anything about the movie. And then it aired. And I realized that like she was kind of offended. She was questioning slash maybe a little offended. And I was like, it wasn't you. Just like to clarify, Amelia was not you. So yeah, I mean, I like doing family drama, and I love doing straight romance. I mean, the gayest of straight romances as well. But this felt like a really good opportunity to kind of do a family intersecting with sort of multiple romances, and just some of the other elements you mentioned are just to me personally like resonant. My father had a heart attack and died, and so like a parent who is dealing with the aftermath of either illness or current illness, like all of that stuff is sort of in my DNA as a writer. And the ways that families resort themselves and negotiate new roles in each other's daily lives after that happens was also to me very interesting. So I think it all just kind of came out of that. Hence why my mom was questioning where the source material was from. But it was loosely inspired, not directly inspired by my life. And yeah, I mean, I think Initially, I had imagined that we would explore more like some of the other characters that you've met in the movie in other sort of later romances as well. So that was kind of the hope, but that hasn't coalesced yet. So not to say never, but
Yeah.
not yet.
Well, I hope it does.
Yeah, I thought Hannah, the actress Baraka, was just stellar. I mean, everybody was wonderful, but she really stood out to me as making the part even better than it was on the page. And so I was hoping I would maybe get to write something for her down the line in a Love Classified universe. But yeah, we'll see.
I also loved Frankie's friend too. I'm totally
Does that
blanking
answer
on
the
her
question? Yes, it does. Oh,
name.
Rodrigo.
Yeah, Frankie's friend
Yeah, he was wonderful.
Rodrigo.
He was
Yeah,
wonderful.
that's a great character.
I'm not
Yeah.
sure the book editor is his destination. More, that was just fun. So
Yeah.
we'll see.
Yeah, super
He
fun.
started out as more of a player, but it's Hallmark, so I had to pull back in certain places. A lot of things are inference as opposed to text, in Hallmark.
Yeah,
And we were really lucky we got two kisses, to be honest.
yeah, I was honestly surprised by that. Can you tell me more about like the editing and like the process of that when you initially came up with this idea and then, having to fit it to Hallmark, I guess.
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't really know what it would require, except I knew that, there isn't really like sex in the Hallmark universe per se, and that's fine. I can write stories without sex. You need plot primarily, not all that window dressing necessarily. But I think I overcorrected at first. So I sold the concept, and then in the process of writing the movie, if you haven't already written something that you're selling wholesale, if it's you're selling an idea, which you get notes all along the way from the concept document to an outline to drafts. And when I turned in my outline, I had studied the formatting of some of their other movies so that I was hitting it correctly. It's a totally bonkers structure compared to like a typical feature film. Instead of three acts, there's nine. There's breaks for commercials constantly. The first act is like 20 something pages. The last act is like six. Because, when you're watching on a streaming service and it goes to commercial, but it's like a large chunk at first to get you hooked, that's how you write it as well. So I think I actually overcorrected and was trying to fit a Hallmark mold, like do my job, and deliver the product that they needed. And then my big note after the outline was like, it's a little too Hallmarky, which was hilarious. And I was like, well, tell me more because I don't think I get this right. Let's go. And they were looking for something with a little bit more of an indie feel. Like the fights were allowed to be a little bit more grounded and present. Like there were bad feelings and hurt feelings. And sometimes that is not traditionally what you see in Hallmark. It's often like misunderstandings as opposed to like actual bad behavior. And so yeah, I got to kind of go a little bit as indie as Hallmark to that point had gone with my actual conflict. And they really fought. My executives on the inside did an amazing job of making sure that we didn't drift from the sort of the queer foundation of the story. They really were careful about keeping those elements in there present and central to it. And I don't have any complaints. They did a very good job on their end, making sure that it was not sanitized down from what I wrote. I think we at one point there was a subplot about drag queens reading story hour at the bookstore, like because that was a big and that was a political issue at the time, and we had to pull back on that. But I think that's the only real thing. And I had made it extra gay, the draft, so that we could like I could take things out without feeling, and that worked. I will do that on every script moving forward. I will put in as much stuff as I can, and then
Yeah.
I'll be like, oh, okay, well, drag queen story hour had to go. Okay.
Yeah, I will agree with Sarah in saying that I have watched a few Hallmark movies in my lifetime, and this is definitely one where it's definitely the one I've liked the most, and not just because it's gay, but because, like you just said, they were allowed to have negative feelings. And because I get like really annoyed when the plot is just telling the characters like, oh, you just misunderstood so and so, and like it's this weird, like, I don't know, almost situational irony instead of like, I don't know, just listening and having a conflicted feeling.
Oh, I know what
So
you're saying. I think
I
it's a real
really.
balancing act they're trying to do over there right now, because a lot of people tune into Hallmark for what we're talking about, like the
Yeah, for sure.
familiar elements of those movies. But the business is changing, and places like Netflix and Amazon Prime are making the same sorts of movies, but they're making them without those boundaries. And so in order to stay competitive, Hallmark needs to adapt a little bit. But it's always about like, how do you find new audiences and promote and present new ideas and stretch your own boundaries without losing all of the faithful viewers. It's I don't know if there's a perfect solution to that. It's hard. All of our the responses were like 50-50. It was so crazy. It was like looking at us at a cross section of America basically right now politically. Like when you read the comments, half of
Yeah.
the people were like, oh my gosh, about time, love it, love the inclusivity. I feel like this will really draw new people here, and it represents families that I know and love. And then the other half were exactly as you would anticipate, like leveraging religion in
Yeah.
inaccurately and all sorts of stuff,
Yeah,
so
I
it
read
was
some Amazon reviews just to see, and it really was like that. It was like people either loved it or they hated it because they're homophobic. Like literally that.
A lot of the comments were like, turned it off immediately. There
Yeah.
should be a warning. And they've
Yeah,
given it zero
exactly.
stars. And I'm like,
Yeah.
whatever. Well, it was that, and they didn't like the texting on screen. I was like,
Oh.
all right.
Like
Okay.
every movie has
That's personal
that,
preference.
yeah.
I find it useful.
I guess. Thank you. I guess if you're a little bit older, it lacks appeal. You don't like the texting devices
That's true.
on movies
Yeah,
and stuff.
that
Not to say anything about those people leaving those comments, but I suspect they might have been slightly older. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting how, as Sarah, you were just saying how it classifies like a big axle of this film. Because I feel that's, I mean, it's how all the, well, most of the love connections get introduced, or, the plot, continues, more through the app, or
Yeah,
the,
like the
the
app
characters.
carries the plot along.
Yeah, like Amelia asking for a tour guide and accidentally getting her son. which I was like, this is a delightfully awkward moment for Hallmark. It's very funny.
I think the bartender in that sequence is basically Hallmark royalty. Like he's one of their go-to leading men, and he signed on to just be our bartender, and I'm so grateful. Like I think that it
That's
was
so
a little bit
funny.
of an Easter egg for Hallmark viewers to see him there, but his facial expressions when he was watching that sequence, the oh my God, I got set up with my mom moment of it
Yeah.
all was wonderful.
He was great. I
Yeah.
that now it doesn't surprise me. I was like, how'd they get this like this great actor for this like very small part? But that makes
I think
sense.
he's just very supportive of the sort of inclusive strides that Hallmark is making and wanted to physically show up for us in that way. So, good on him. I'm really appreciative.
That's great. That's nice to hear. Actually.
Yeah. It's no gap, guys. It's no gap or whatever that.
So I guess your inspiration for the movie was based on, what was it, Lex?
Lex, yeah. I mean,
And
loosely, yeah.
loosely, what else inspired you while writing this film?
You mean besides the family trauma? Lex, the family trauma. I mean, just I did the online dating thing for a couple of years, so I guess I drew on that, those experiences and whatnot. And a couple of the characters are creatives. I mean, it's no surprise. I think every 10th character on in a Hallmark series is a romance novelist because it's fun to write about what you're seeing and stuff. But I am a writer, so and I'm consider myself like a creative more inclusively. So both Max and Amelia had jobs that reflected that, and so their struggles kind of came from a place of familiarity for me. I'm not a doctor, but I'm sort of like drawn to the Grey's Anatomy raised me school of thought. So I guess Frank, doctors are still sexy. Weird, because when you meet them in real life, they don't always hold that appeal. And especially if you try to be a partner to one, the terrible hours and everything to wreck your life, is my understanding. But I think a little bit of all of those sources of inspiration got mixed in along the way. I'm probably forgetting something crucial, but that's what's coming to mind right now.
I feel like even Taylor's work is creative work because she has a florist shop.
Yeah, I can't keep plants alive. I struggle. And I
Far.
think the idea of Taylor as sort of a nurturer of life, considering how raw her feelings were toward her mom and feeling abandoned, it was kind of the reverse of that. Like she's staying, she's planting herself, and she's growing things, as a sort of a reaction to what happened in her family. But yeah, I can't. I really struggle. There's a plant here for now. We'll see. You can see on because
Well,
we're
it's great.
zooming. They can see that there's a plant
It
thriving
looks
behind me, but
alive.
it's only a matter of time, guys.
And it's also, like she's, you just said she's nurturing everyone but herself, really. And she has like a really good relationship with her brother, which I really appreciated. I love to see like sibling friendships, and that relationship and how they deal with issues within the family and how they, even if they disagree, like how they stick together. I thought their sibling relationship was really beautiful.
I'll let my
But
sister know.
oh yes.
To my hothead brashness, she's like, yeah, I guess she's my Max. But that came out of the fact that when our family stuff went down, it definitely we had different reactions. So I was drawing a little bit from there. But I turned her into a boy. So nobody will
Yeah.
know.
No, secret safe. Yeah, I loved seeing that, and I thought the character, I'm blanking on her name right now, but the assistant at the plant store,
That's
Hannah,
Hannah, yeah.
super Gen Z. Yeah, I thought that was like just so funny.
I liked her a lot too.
Yeah, it was delightful, and she really like cares for Taylor and wants her to get out there. So it was really sweet to see her egg her boss on.
Yeah, like not maintaining healthy boundaries with your employer is definitely
No.
something I'm here for.
Yeah.
So,
For sure. Like total Gen Z thing, but it worked out.
they were both wonderful, the characters, I mean. So nobody's getting hurt in that dynamic. They need each other. And yeah, I thought that actress was just so comedically wonderful that I
She
would love to
is.
write more for her and have her get a love story of her own,
Yeah, that would be
in the
awesome.
future.
You said you also wrote on The Bold Type, and Melora Hardin was a main character on The Bold Type.
Oh yeah.
Was
Guys, I've
that
now written for three actresses who have played like daughter figures to Melora Hardin, so I'm a little concerned. that there's like something weird happening in the universe. I've written for Caitlin McGee on two different projects, and she has played Melora Hardin's daughter on Monk. I've written for Kat McNamara in Love Classified, and I wrote on Bold Type, where she was like the mother of all of the three main characters, basically. She was their employer at Scarlet Magazine. But yeah, there's something weird in the water. She also happens to be my neighbor. And like, I'm
No.
not, I still haven't met Melora, except in the writer's room for the Bold Type. Like, I haven't run into her lately.
Oh
At this point, it's going to be
my
really awkward. Like, what are you going to
God.
say?
That is wild. I don't know. It'll be the wrong thing, whatever it is. I once ran into Shonda Rhimes out shoe shopping, and that woman literally changed my life. But because I saw her, knew who she was, I think I clutched my chest and gasped. And she immediately was like, avoid that one. Like, that's going to be an awkward interaction right there. So, like, I will definitely blow it with Melora as
Like, what are you gonna do? You're both gonna be like walking dogs or children, whatever.
well.
And then, like, just be like, I've written for you a bunch of times. Bye.
It would be, you probably nailed it. It will be that. No,
Wow.
she sent me a lovely letter after they wrapped filming, and it was one of
Oh.
those things that you will like treasure forever. I put it away into my box of like things that will make me feel better when I have a bad day.
Gosh, I love
Melora
that
Hardin's letter of saying nice
so
things.
much.
Because I guess she by proxy is kind of my mommy now, after
There
me
you
having
go.
written for so many of these. No, she's wonderful. And yeah, I did write for her on the Bold Type season one. So way back, OG Bold Type. It was a tiny writer's room, and I was so honored to be in it. Writing for my friend Sarah Watson, who was the creator showrunner of the Bold Type for that year, and telling also like a very meaningful to me queer story about immigration and sort of first love through Kat and Adina. That was a story I took I poured a lot of myself into, and it felt amazing to be a part of that room.
Yeah. I loved the Bold Type at first. It kind of went off the rails, in my opinion, but that's a conversation for a different day.
You can talk about it all you want. I wasn't there. I couldn't even watch it. It was one of those things. Every screenwriter has heartbreak in their backstory somewhere, in their Hollywood story especially. But for me, it was not coming back to the Bold Type on the second season. There was just a lot of change at the top, and the makeup of the writer's room changed dramatically. And so, but it was like setting up your children and then not getting to see them like become themselves. That's why it was hard. Not because, I mean, the job loss is always hurts, but you don't pour yourself into every project. You're really lucky when you get to. So I think it's pretty rare that you get to have that feeling. And I had it on that show, so it was hard, and I couldn't watch the rest of the show. But yeah, I got inklings that people weren't happy. Most
Yeah.
basically, I got tagged in a lot of Twitter things.
Oh, for sure.
I was like, guys, I'm sorry. I'm sorry,
It's
guys.
not my fault.
They knew I wasn't there. I think that they were just, it's having been on that side of fandom, I know the heartbreak is real. So
Yeah, so you've written for TV mostly, and this is TV feature. How are episodic writing experiences different than this?
in
Or
a
how is
lot
this
of
different than
ways.
whatever, vice versa?
Yeah, in a lot of ways. This, there were just fewer cooks in the kitchen, because when you're in a writer's room, there are so many creatives sort of, there's the showrunner who has ultimately the say so about what is and isn't of the show and what directions they want to go on things. But, so everybody's pitching concepts and arcs and dialogue and everything, from the macro to the micro. And then on this, it was really me and my executives kind of in a bubble over the course of about a year and a bit, I think. Sometimes we were really busy, and sometimes it was just waiting for, is it going to go to the next stage? So yeah, just really ultimately I had the say so in the dialogue and stuff. And then I wasn't there for the filming. So the director, who was wonderful, Stacey Harding, she stayed very true to the script. I really appreciated that. They could make changes on set at the last minute. They could switch dialogue around, and really that didn't happen so much. So I saw the movie that I wrote, and I think that was the main difference. In television, not only is it a bigger room with more voices, ultimately you're writing your own episode, but then it may get improved upon, edited, rewritten even by your bosses. But you're also, if you're lucky, and I have been, going to set and producing your episodes. And I was not on set for any of this. I was getting snippets here and there. And I gotta admit, as having come up through television and having been able to produce a lot of my own stuff, it's hard to let go of the control of that. But I was so happy with the product, so no complaints.
Wow. That's
Yeah,
too bad because you said that it filmed on Vancouver Island, right?
it did. Yeah, it did. I thought they made it look really special as well, like with the lighting and everything. And I love Vancouver Island. I visited a few times when I lived in Vancouver City. No, it was a fast shoot, sequestered on the island. And Hallmark is just extremely good at making movies quickly. And that it was one of those. They disappeared into this little creative bubble, and they came back out with a movie. I think the only things I had to do were make joke alts for some things, and send those along. I don't know. I was mostly just on the. I was riding the train to the final destination, one way or another. As I said, I didn't know that it would get made, and I didn't know once it was. I just didn't know the whole way through. I didn't know that this was gonna actually air. And I'm so glad it did.
Yeah, I loved the dialogue. I'm glad, not a lot of that was changed. I love to write down quotes and whatnot. I see one that's I asked if they wanted to go on another date, and it's three dots.
Oh yeah, the
It's just like,
three dots of
yikes.
doom.
Yeah. Getting ghosted by a woman has got to be so much harder. Oh my goodness.
I'm glad you liked it. Thank you.
Yeah, and it was just, a great connection. So for the listeners, basically, we went over the synopsis, but Taylor, owns her own plant shop, is kind of a loner, hangs out with her brother, has some issues. They both have some issues with their mom. Their mom is a real diva.
She's a real diva.
She plays a diva so
She's
well. Oh my
Melora
God.
Hardin. I mean, I mean, she was a diva on the Bold Type too.
Yeah, she's so good at playing a diva.
I was admittedly very surprised. Sorry, we should get back to your walking people through so they know what the heck we're talking about. But when the first shot of Amelia at the bar comes up, and she's like dressed for an occasion, and I was
Yeah,
like,
she has
oh.
sleeves. My wife sometimes wears big statement pieces like that, and I just
Yeah.
told her, I was like, you could pull that shirt off.
It takes a kind of
I
woman that I am not.
am not either. But yeah, essentially, Frankie and Taylor make a connection through Classify. And they have this like great romance, and Taylor has never dated a woman, and that's also like not a big deal in this movie. It's just like, oh, okay. Well, yeah, I guess I'm open to that. Never really thought about it, but sure. And there's no like, oh my God, I'm connecting all the pieces from my gay childhood. Which is fine. I love that too. But it was just like not really a thing. And Amelia is coming back home because she's sick with a heart problem. And she needs to be around people who can like take care of her. She needs a support system, and Frankie is her doctor. So that's the big web.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then Amelia, she comes home under the guise that she's going to do a book event at her
Oh,
hometown
right.
bookstore, which she does do. But she doesn't tell her kids that she has this heart problem. So Frankie's like, "I thought you came back here for a support system." And she's like, "Well,
About
yeah."
that. She's not very good at talking about her feelings,
Yeah.
Amelia. So that's sort of her journey. In
Mm-hmm.
addition to getting a cute little side piece, you know, a
Yes.
little love story of her own that's pretty subtly played. She definitely had to learn how to speak to her children and trust them and express her adult feelings about grief and how she has let them down. And that was, yeah, that's how you know that she's a changed woman. By the end, she's, you know, giving the speech about all
Yeah.
that stuff. Spoiler alert,
That's true.
it's okay in the end.
It's Hallmark, don't worry.
Yeah, it's all
It's home. It's
marked.
still Hallmark.
That's what, yeah, like you said, that's what people tune in for. They know that by the end, it will be wrapped up and it will be happy. You'll have a smile on your face. You might even have shed a tear. Yeah, I thought this was great.
I wanted to point out to you guys, everybody can't see it, but I'm drinking from a mug from the coffee shop where Taylor and Frankie had their meet cute.
Very cute. Oh
And it
my
is one of my subversive jokes that survived. It's called We Did It, Joe. And that also
We didn't
dates
know
it
that.
to
That flew right past me.
the meme. The coffee shop that they have their date at is We Did It, Joe Coffee. And Hallmark ended up producing the mugs. So there you go.
Wow. That's really
Yeah.
cool.
There was so much detail in this film. Like
Yeah.
you were telling us that the bookstore was built like insane. That's so amazing.
Yeah.
I'm just blown away by that. I'm
I
glad.
was certain that there was like a real life bookstore called Between the Covers, but then I realized that it's actually the name of a podcast that I listen to. But there is a romance centric bookstore. I forget where it is, but it's called The Ripped Bodice. I don't know if you've heard of it.
It's here in Culver City,
Oh,
and they've
okay, you
opened
know it.
another one in Brooklyn, and that
Oh,
you
nice.
have hit upon it. That was the inspiration for Between the Covers, which I think they had to change to Between Two Covers,
Oh, okay.
because it was maybe too sexy, which was perhaps my intention because it's a romance bookstore.
Who's to say?
But yes, it was based on the Ripped Bodice, which is an amazing store. And even if you don't live in Brooklyn or Culver City, California, you can order from them and support their mission because they are super queer inclusive and like protagonists of color, and just like they have all of the romance your little heart could desire.
That's
I do
awesome.
love a good romance book. They're just great.
I have read quite a bit of you know, for potential like television development, I read a lot of queer romance novels and have some thoughts. But yes, they are they're soothing. They soothe my brain. And it's like, why can't why, we should have all of the same things that
Yeah.
you know, little horny straights do as they're growing up.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad it's like a booming industry now.
Yeah, I am too. Did you have any other questions, Sarah?
No, but I kind of want to say that speaking of the horny straights, when I was reading the Amazon reviews, this one woman was like, "You can, I don't force you to watch like heterosexual Christian people, so why do I have to be forced to watch gay people or something like that?" And I was like,
Course.
actually, we are forced to watch heterosexual Christian people. And you are not forced to watch this movie.
Grew up with horny
I
straights
want
my
to
whole
say,
life.
yeah. Hallmark is a subscription service, so
Yeah.
lady,
Please
you're
remember
either
this.
buying it on purpose or
Yeah.
paying for it out of your pocket. So Yeah, no, it's, I mean, there, it was definitely one of the reactions was like, how dare you desecrate my sacred heterosexual love space?
Ugh.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I thought it was really funny because it's
I'm
so
glad you could see the comedy in those comments. I also tried to look at it from that perspective. I think that's the healthiest way to take it. We're li I
well,
mean,
it's
we're
also
living in this
horrifying.
time,
It's also horrifying. Let's be real because those
Yeah.
people are being serious, but it's
Yeah,
also
they
funny.
are. I am, you know, it's and it's not just like the queer central female couple. I noticed they did a another amazing shout out to Hallmark and how progressive they're being just by greenlighting these movies. But there was a movie starring two gay dads who have a foster daughter, and there was a lot of feedback about that, and I was just stunned because like two of my friends here in LA are gay dads who did foster their son who they've now adopted, and they are just the most incredible aspirational couple for not just for that, just for everything. It's hard to foster. Like emotionally it can be really devastating, and I'm just like, you are attacking the wrong people, angry folks in the comment section.
Who are taking care of children? Rude.
Seriously, seriously. But no, I mean, most people are out there, so
For
yeah,
sure.
and they have Facebook accounts and they're gonna let you know.
Yeah,
For sure.
well,
The only other question I have is, what other projects are you working on? Where can people
yeah.
find you? That kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, fingers crossed there could be something happening with Hallmark. It would not be a follow-up to this movie. At least not yet. They know I'm ready and waiting if they ever want to do that, but conceivably something else. And I am currently writing a pilot that is not announced. For the CW,
Ooh.
and co-writing that, co-created a concept with a French screenwriter. And I don't think I can say very much about it, unfortunately. But you're in the process of writing that, and we'll see if anything comes of it. Hopefully, something will. It's a series set ostensibly in Paris, so that would be very exciting.
That's
So
so cool.
it's not Emily in Paris. Not quite that tonally, but fun, soapy, semi-procedural thing. So,
Cool. Nice.
and then I don't know. I better get another job. It's a new year, so
Yeah.
we'll see. We'll see what else the new year brings.
You
But
had
I'll
the
let you
writer's
go.
strike.
It
That
was a
was.
massive disruption, and
Yeah.
a lot of livelihoods were really shaken up by that. I was out there on the picket lines a lot, and it was a kind of incredible experience to be out on the picket lines in community with all of my fellow writers and directors, and eventually screen. Well, the directors were there in support, you know, they didn't strike, but and then the screen actors when they joined us, it was a huge party slash protest. You know, we're still really feeling the repercussions of that disruption. There hasn't been as much happening, getting picked up, getting developed, getting staffing. It's slow to get the ball rolling again. And it's not really because of the strike, it's because of the trends that the industry was already undergoing when we went on strike. But yeah, we'll see what the year holds for us. There's so much incredible television getting made, but also it feels like there's going to be some big gaps ahead just because of the lack of content getting like purchased and produced. So
Yeah.
we'll see. And we'll all be waiting for Yellow Jacket season 3 and The Last of Us
Yeah.
season 2 and all of these things that had
Not
big
me.
stoppages.
I can't watch those things. I'm very
No?
squeamish. I can't do
You're a
like
fragile flower.
violence, horror. I can't do it.
Oh, I'm sorry. You definitely need more queer rom-coms then, because
Yeah.
like that
Yeah.
those places aren't the destinations for queer for queer protagonists and queer storylines for a lot of people right now, you know, that's where it's being told, is in these like genre dramas. So, okay, crossing my fingers for you.
Thank you.
let's get Sarah some like easy to view.
Yes, yes. And thank you.
I don't need any blood. no blood.
Meanwhile, the universe is like, if you want lesbians, you will get blood. It will be gory. They will probably eat each other, and or there will be mushrooms attacking them. So those are your options.
Ooh.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah.
Mushroom attacks.
Yeah. I can't. I get so scared. Anyway, this movie was a delight. And I really enjoyed watching it. And I'm so thankful that you worked on it and that you joined us today.
Thank you for inviting me. It was really fun to talk about it. It may be my last time I ever get to talk about it. It's been almost 2 years. But I hope there's much queer content ahead, and that hopefully we can talk about that down the line.
Yeah.
As I continue to spread my unabashed gay agenda in Hollywood. I'm a lesbian Jew in Hollywood. I'm exactly who they think I am. So, but it was a total pleasure, Sarah and Alicia. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. And where can, do you have any socials that you want to share?
I'm on Threads ostensibly. I think it's just at Lynn Sternberger. I mean, obviously I'm not super on top of it because I don't even know my full username there. But yeah, search Lynn Sternberger on Threads and you should be able to find me. And I'm on Instagram, but you know, if you go there, you're going to get photos of my dog in the back of my kid's head too. So just depends on the level of interest.
Very cute back of the head.
Thanks. It's an adorable back of the head. she's blonde and it's not for me. Thank you, donor. but yeah, please, I would love for your followers to follow me and find me and talk with me about the state of queer entertainment. I can talk about it endlessly. So
awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
It was fun.
Thank you. and for our listeners, you can find us. Obviously, you can write in via email, galpalswatch@gmail.com.
And we are on Instagram at galpalswatch. And that's it.
Keep it elegant.